With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a special kind of arrogance that keeps a man fighting after everyone's already seen who he really is. Okay. You really can't read the tea leaves, can you? You really can't see the room. You can't read what we know you are. Keith Raniere, a self-proclaimed genius, the vanguard, the man who once commanded loyalty through fear, manipulation, and coercion, is still fighting. Not for justice, not for redemption, but for the only thing he ever truly cared about. Control. 5 years into his 120-year federal prison sentence, Raniere is back in court. Yes, Raniere, the founder of Nexium. He's claiming the FBI, the very agency that exposed the horror that he built, fabricated the evidence that sealed his fate. That's the claim. According to him, he's the victim now. Framed, wronged, persecuted. Of course he is. And if he talks really calm like this, I'm sure you'll see it his way. It's the final act of a narcissist who refuses to die quietly. Let's rewind, in case you're not familiar with this story, long before he became the punchline to his own cult. Because yes, that's what Nexium was, a cult. And if you're just hearing about this right now, oh my God, do you have a plethora of documentaries and podcasts and things to look at, because this is a crazy cult story. Keith Raniere sold himself as a savior. Nexium, that's N-X-I-V-M, as if the fake sophistication might mask the rot underneath. It began in the late 1990s as a personal development company, a sort of corporate enlightenment movement wrapped in the language of empowerment. It started a lot of similarly to how people get sucked into Scientology or any cult for that matter. Self-help. We're going to help you. And on the surface, on the very beginning levels, yeah, people find uses because they're basically throwing a bunch of psychological empowerment language together that on the surface, yeah, can help a little bit. Need to dig a little bit deeper, and they start branding folks with his initials and Allison Max from Smallville. Yes, Allison Max involved in this story too. He pitched it like a mix between Tony Robbins and Buddhism. Self-mastery, discipline, breaking through, personal barriers, people, smart, driven, emotionally open people, bought in. But what Raniere was really doing wasn't empowerment. It was conditioning. Each course pulled members deeper into the hierarchy where he sat atop. He wasn't a mentor. He was a deity, a man who, according to followers, could read people's energy, heal their traumas, even correct their thoughts. There's a skill. That was the first lie. The second was DOS, not MS-DOS, the secret sisterhood within Nexium that Raniere quietly ran. Women were recruited under the promise of empowerment, then branded with a cauterizing pen bearing his initials. They gave collateral Nude photos, false confessions, signed letters, ensuring obedience through blackmail, just like Scientology. Although they don't do the nude photos part, but they do the auditing. Tell us everything so we can take notes of it and use it against you should you ever try to say anything bad about us. They were told they were joining a master slave mentorship group. Doesn't that sound appealing? You want to be part of the master slave mentorship group? Yes, that'd be great, huh? A lot of people signed up. It would strengthen discipline. In reality, it was an affront to basically sexual servitude. When investigators finally cracked NXIVM open in 2018, they found a digital trail that left no doubt who was in charge. Explicit photos, emails, commands, the voice of Ranieri on recordings, directing how women should be branded, and who they should sleep with. Surprise, he was on the list. The man who claimed to teach ethics was in fact orchestrating psychological and sexual domination under the guise of growth. The fall of the Vanguard is the next chapter in this story. When Ranieri was arrested in Mexico in March of 2018, because when you're running something legitimate, you of course flee to Mexico, he was hiding in a villa with several female followers. It wasn't a quiet takedown. It was the collapse of an empire built on manipulation. And the evidence was overwhelming. Federal prosecutors in the Eastern District of New York charged him with racketeering, sex trafficking, forced labor, conspiracy, and possession of child content. I don't want to say the word aloud because I don't want us to get flagged on YouTube. That's the only reason I'm not saying it out loud. 7 charges in total, every one of them dripping with proof. By June of 2019, a jury found him guilty on all counts. At trial, victims testified about the branding ceremonies, the starvation disciplines, the threats, the control. You know, it sounds like a great group to join, doesn't it? The U.S. Attorney's Office had laid it out simply. NXIVM was organized crime dressed in yoga pants and enlightenment slogans. At sentencing in October of 2020, Judge Nicholas Grafus didn't mince words. He called Ranieri a man who exploited others for power, pleasure, and profit, and sentenced him to 120 years in federal prison. The courtroom was thick with emotion as victims confronted him, some trembling, some defiant, while Ranieri, expressionless, refused to acknowledge their suffering. He didn't apologize. He didn't flinch. He spoke instead about truth, about integrity, about how someday people will see. It was the purest distillation of narcissism you could bottle. Even facing life behind bars, Ranieri was still performing. After sentencing, NXIVM should have ended there, but narcissists never let go of their stage. Even from prison, Ranieri maintained communication with loyalists who dubbed themselves the Forgotten Ones. They launched websites, podcasts, and social media campaigns insisting on his innocence. They organized dance protests outside the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn. Yes, literal choreographed dances for Keith. That's when you know your brainwashing has really taken effect. They called the movement NXIVM 2.0. Ranieri called it evidence of courage. Everyone else called it delusion, because that's what it is. But this was the fuel he thrived on. Attention, validation, followers still orbiting the black hole of his ego. That delusion found its next outlet in a string of legal filings. He had his first appeal denied, denied, and denied again. Ranieri appealed his conviction in 2021, arguing judicial bias, faulty jury instructions, and violations of due process. The Second Circuit Court of Appeals listened and shut it down. In December of 2022, the appellate panel unanimously upheld both the conviction and the 120-year sentence. The court's message was clear. The evidence, overwhelming. The trial, fair. And there was no reversible error. Still, he tried again. Petitioning the Supreme Court in 2023, the justices refused even to hear the case. For most people, that's the end of the road. But for Ranieri, every no became another chapter in his persecution fantasy. Then came his latest trick, the so-called metadata motion. In April of 24, Ranieri's defense team filed yet another motion for a new trial, claiming that they had uncovered newly discovered evidence proving FBI misconduct. The allegation that agents tampered with digital evidence, specifically photographs found on memory cards and hard drives, showing a minor, altering the timestamps to make them appear incriminating. It was a bold claim, and for Ranieri, the perfect narrative. The Vanguard wasn't a predator. He was the victim of a corrupted system framed by the government because of his brilliance and truth. Except it wasn't true. The judge, who has now presided over this saga long enough to see through every stunt, reviewed the motion and called it what it was, baseless. He ruled that the so-called new evidence was neither new nor credible. The defense had the opportunity to challenge the forensic handling of that data years earlier. In the judge's decision, Grafis described the filing as meritless, adding that it failed to present any reason to disrupt the jury's verdict. Ranieri's request for a new trial was denied again. And you might think a man serving 120 years would take the hint, but Keith Ranieri has never accepted a world where he isn't in control. He's now appealing that denial in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, arguing once again that the FBI faked evidence to frame him. His lawyers claim a team of digital forensic experts found abnormalities, suggesting metadata manipulation. They insist this shows an intentional governmental conspiracy. But when the case came before the appellate judges in October of 2025, the panel was not buying it. According to courtroom observers, the judge grilled his lawyers, pointing out that the alleged manipulation didn't alter the underlying content. The images themselves were undisputed, and the timeline claims had no bearing on guilt. One judge noted that the defense had never even requested the original memory card before trial, undercutting their argument that the evidence was hidden. The government responded bluntly. Nothing was falsified. Nothing fabricated. And the only thing being manipulated was the narrative by Ranieri himself. As of now, the Second Circuit has not issued its final written opinion, but all signs point to the same conclusion as before. Another denial, another failed attempt to rewrite reality. This is a point where legal analysis becomes psychological dissection, because Keith Ranieri isn't just appealing a conviction, he's appealing the collapse of his identity. For decades, his entire existence revolved around controlling perception. He branded women, but called it empowerment. Literally, cottering iron, hot, searing, that sort of branding. If you're wondering what, it wasn't like, what's your brand? My brand is this. No, it's more like, come here, let me poke you with this hot searing iron and scald your skin permanently with my initials. Woo, empowered. He demanded loyalty, but called it enlightenment. He inflicted trauma, but called it growth. And when the courts took away his following, his stage, and his myth, he did what narcissists always do when the mirror cracks. He tried to glue it back together with delusion. Every filing, every podcast, every free Ranieri statement from loyalists, it's all part of the same pattern. He cannot psychologically tolerate being ordinary. Behind bars, stripped of wealth and followers, he's no longer Vanguard. He's inmate number 57005-177 at USP Tucson. And for a man who built an empire on self-worship, that's the cruelest punishment imaginable. The latest appeal, the metadata myth, isn't about evidence. It's about ego preservation. It's Ranieri trying to reassert control in the only way he has left, by forcing the system to acknowledge him. It's why he keeps filing motions no one takes seriously, and why each denial fuels his persecution complex. In his mind, rejection doesn't prove guilt. It proves conspiracy. The real tragedy of Nexium is that for years, people believed him. They believed in his intelligence, his ethics, his teachings. Many were broken, blackmailed, and humiliated before realizing what they'd been a part of. Now Ranieri's last followers cling to him not because of truth, but because of trauma bonding. the psychological residue of cult life. To them, admitting he's guilty would mean admitting they were deceived. That's why the narrative of government corruption has traction among the few remaining faithful. It gives him an excuse not to face reality. It's why he still dictates letters, still gives teachings through intermediaries, still frames himself as the lone voice of truth in a world of lies. But outside of that echo chamber, the world has moved on. Nexium is dead. Its co-conspirators are serving time or rebuilding their lives. Victims are healing, testifying, and reclaiming their voices. The only person still living in Nexium is Keith Raniere, trapped inside his own mythology. And as of right now, as of this recording, in October of 2025, Raniere is remaining incarcerated at USP Tucson. His sentence stands, 120 years. His conviction remains upheld by every appellate body that has touched it. His most recent motion alleging the FBI tampering with digital evidence was rejected by the district court in April of 24. The appellate hearing on October 24th to 25 gave no indication the Second Circuit will see it any differently. No new trial is expected. No new evidence has been validated. The Justice Department stands by its case. The victims stand by their testimony. And the courts have had enough. This is the end of the road. Not for the mythology. That will probably limp along in blog posts and conspiracy podcasts for years. But for the man himself. There will be no vindication, no reversal, no encore. Just Keith Raniere, the one self-anointed genius, pacing a cell, wondering how a man so enlightened could be so profoundly stupid. And maybe that's the real closure here. Not in this final appeal, but in what it represents. A narcissist who built an empire on control, finally living in the world where he has none. Because the truth about Keith Raniere isn't found in metadata or courtroom filings. It's in his reflection. And for the first time in his life, there's no one left to tell him he's right. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You will find us. Make that same search wherever you get podcasts and hit subscribe. We do appreciate your support and your feedback and your thoughts on the case. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.